Hoping that hoping that a quorum will show up. So we will skip election of officers and the summary of the last advisory meeting. Are there any I forgot to ask for a roll call.
Sure.
Okay. The first is a presentation on calendar year 2024 engineering and compliance activities.
Yes. I'm just going to real quickly go over what we did in calendar year 2024 in engineering and compliance. Keyboard is not working.
It's not working.
Can you advance it? I'll just tell you next.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speak into your mics, please.
Next. So I'm just going to give you a brief overview of engineering compliance and what our activities were for the last calendar year. Next. So in engineering, our primary workload is reviewing permit applications and evaluating those applications for compliance with federal, state, and local regulations. We issue those permits with operating conditions, and from time to time, we'll also develop rules and regulations. And then we're also responsible for doing annual stationary source emission inventory, which we report to the California Air Resources Board. Next. This is just a high-level overview of the permit process. So we'll receive an application. It'll get assigned to an engineer. They'll do an evaluation, which is a report where they review all of our rules and regulations and the federal and state regulations that apply to that equipment, make sure that it complies. And they'll issue something called an authority to construct, which gives the applicant the authority to go out and install whatever it was they applied for, such as an engine. Then once that piece of equipment is installed, the engineer will go out and inspect it to make sure it meets all of the information that was provided to us in the application. And once they confirm that, they'll issue the permit to operate. Next. So for those main activities, last year we received 286 applications, 155 authorities to construct, 132 startup inspections, and 220 permits to operate. And this is very similar to calendar year 2023. We didn't really see any major changes. We did have some staffing changes. One of our engineer two left in July, and then we were able to internally recruit an inspector to refill that position. So we did have a little bit of lapse of time where we were only having three engineers. Next slide. And then this is just a summary of the different types of permits issued last year. And you'll see the two blue pieces of the pie chart were the most commonly issued, and that's miscellaneous permits. And that's things like a fume hood, a dry cleaner, an aggregate processing facility. It's kind of a catch-all. And then ownership changes. We get those a lot of times with gas stations. Next slide. So once the permit's issued, it goes over to our compliance team. And they conduct inspections to make sure that the person who has that permit is following all of the conditions on that permit. And in some cases, they may have to issue a violation if they're not doing so. And we also have a team that does the federal asbestos regulation. So we receive notifications for that program online. And then we also respond to complaints. Next. So some of those larger big activity areas for our inspectors. The big one this year was they did 1,943 inspections. And that's like an all-time high since 2016. That means each of our inspectors did about 324 inspections last year. So we're really excited. They're really out there in the field. And that was a big win for us for last year. Another big win was we also did have a lot of asbestos notifications, and we have one inspector assigned to that, and they did 267 inspections last year. So again, getting out in the field a lot and trying to make sure everyone's complying with their with our regulations. Our hearing board issued 4 variance orders last year, and then 39 source tests were observed by the inspectors. Next slide. And this is just a chart showing the different types of complaints that we receive and respond to. So as you can see, the biggest chunk, 45%, are odor complaints, and that's followed up by dust and smoke. So those are the typical types of complaints that we receive from the public. And as I think we've talked about before, a lot of those odor complaints we get are from marina residents regarding the landfill and compost operation, the wastewater treatment plant that are just north of the city. Next. And then this is just a chart showing the 10-year activity trends. So the top bar is just the total number of permits, and we're up over around 3,180 permits. The middle dark blue line just shows kind of the fluctuation of permit inspections. And you can see we've had a steady increase since 2021 in the total number of permit inspections. And then the bottom three lines are the number of complaints, the number of permits issued, and the number of permit applications received. You can see those three lines are fairly flat. So over this last 10-year period, we haven't really seen any major changes in kind of what we're intaking. And so it supports that the staffing levels we have should be able to meet those needs for those three activities. Next. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Any questions?
On your stats on permit applications received, 286, authority to construct 155, that's quite a drop. What happened to the other ones? Did they withdraw them or?
No, it depends on a few variables. So sometimes applications get held up if we don't get enough information from the applicant in order to issue the authority mm-hmm. to construct. And then also, like I said, we did have some staffing changes, which if you've already the bulk of the work comes before the authority to construct is issued. That's when the engineering evaluation is written, all the permit conditions are put together. So to go from an authority to construct to a permit is less effort. And so when we lose staff, it's easier to be moving forward with issuing permits. That takes less time than it does to do, you know, the full ATC evaluation. And so when we have staffing changes, we tend to see a decrease in ATCs issued.
Any other questions?
Just real quick, could you
speak in your mic?
Other combustion permits?
Can you turn your mic on?
It should have had stupid speaking on the mic. Anyway, I knew I was going to do that. Yeah, I was just wondering if you give some examples of other combustion permits.
For boilers or a flare, so something that has some type of a burner that maybe natural gas is combusted in to heat something or burn off a gas.
Quick question?
Yes, I have a quick one. Thank you for the presentation. Maybe I'm drawing a wrong correlation, but looking at the 10-year trends, there's a fairly steady increase in permits, but a lot more volatility in inspections. Can you explain?
Yeah, that's also highly dependent on staffing levels. So we've had a highly variable staffing level until about 2021, when we sort of were able to start getting, we like to have a team of 6 inspectors. And so it's kind of been a little bit all over the map. And that's why we've started to see that steady increase since 2021, because we've been able to be fully staffed. So 2024 really represents what we can do in a year if we're fully staffed.
Okay, so really depending on staffing levels, that inspection line should, without changes in personnel, maybe flatten out a little.
Yes, okay, we're hoping to see that for this year, yeah.
Any other questions? Thank you. If not, we will go on to an update from Planning Division. David?
Good afternoon. My name is Dave Frisbee, Planning and Air Monitoring Manager here at the district. I'm going to give you an update on our planning activities for 2024. Oh, I did it. All right. So Planning, what does planning do? We do a lot of things. What we haven't done for a few years is plans, because we've attained we've met ozone attainment for state and federal standards. So we're no longer required to do a air quality management plan. But we do keep busy with a lot of grant programs, review of CEQA documents, and smoke management program, as well as some outreach and special projects. Last year, we reviewed 22 environmental documents. There's a list of them there. It's ranging from, we had general plan updates and some multi-use, mixed-use developments, pretty standard stuff, nothing out of the ordinary. The grant programs that we have are all based on a lot of the funding that we receive from the DMV, as well as through the Air Resources Board. We have listed here our funding mechanisms, our funding streams, and base our programs off of those. We've got, for example, with AB 2766, we've got transportation and electric vehicle incentive programs. Carl Moyer program, we do repowering of diesel equipment. Same with farmer. For programs like community air protection program, we focus on disadvantaged communities. We also have a wood stove change out program. Last year, we completed 4 AB 2766 projects. These were completely paid out and done. Of note, we did a zero emission refuse hauler, which was we've only done a couple of these projects. And this is it. On the left, you'll see the old refuse hauler. This was from Santa Cruz, went down to A&S Metals for destruction. And then on the right and the bottom, you'll see it. It looks very similar, except for in the bottom photo, you'll see that it's being charged up. So it is an electric refuse hauler. I hear it's very quiet. Our electric vehicle incentive program, where we incentivize the purchase of new and used electric vehicles. You'll see various categories there. We offer $1,500 for a brand new electric vehicle, $1,000 for a used. The incentives are doubled for low-income applicants. Last year, we completed 230 projects for about $300,000. We currently have the program running. There's still just about out of money, if not already, but this year's program is almost done. And maybe adding some more to it if we can find some more from the AB 2766 funds remaining from prior years. People are really happy with the program. We've had applicants that are on a fixed income that wouldn't otherwise be able to purchase an electric vehicle, so they were very appreciative of the program. We had another applicant, many applicants that are commuters. The one on the bottom is from Pleasant, lives in Santa Cruz and commutes round trip to Pleasanton, and they're able to do that every week. So it's been a very successful program in that sense. Our AB 923 grants, they're funded through the DMV at $2 off of each registered vehicle in three counties. Monterey, San Bernardino, and Santa Cruz gets directed to MBARD. We use those funds as required match funds for a Carl Moyer Memorial Grant Program. And we've also used it for our relaunch of our zero emission school bus program. Years past, we've drawn down the funds and we experienced supply chain issues during the pandemic. The program was relaunched this past year. We completed one bus. We've got other projects in the works. So the City of Santa Cruz project, this picture of that. See, it's a smaller school bus, brand new, all electric, shiny, and they're very pleased to have this bus. Carl Moyer Memorial Grant Program, we've got 21 projects completed. $2.5 million expended. You can see many of the grants maxed out at $150,000. We're finding with our program, the way we've got it structured, we've got 150, a max of $150,000. 50%, let me back up, 50% for each project and up to $150,000 are funded. And so we were able to fund the projects for a lot more than that were a lot more than $300,000 with just $150,000. So we're getting really good cost effectiveness on this program. So we're getting more emission reductions for fewer dollars. This is an example of past program. We've got a tractor, old, used, worn out tractor, still operating in the field, sometimes up to 1,500 hours a year. We take that and destroy it. That's the middle picture. And you can see on the right is the replacement, nice clean tier 4 engine, cleaner, I should say. So, Farmer Grant program is essentially does the same thing as the Moyer program, but it focuses on ag equipment. Got a lot of ag equipment in 3 counties here. We've got last year 10 projects completed for $1.1 million. Same type of thing. We've got an old tractor on the left. We've got I think your mic's on. Thank you. We've got an old tractor on the left, destroyed, and it's destroyed. A picture of that in the middle, and then a nice clean tractor on the right. Community Air Protection Program is a grant funded through the state of California. We get it's a very similar program. Again, we were able to use Moyer guidelines. That the funds are all directed to disadvantaged communities in low-income areas. Last year, we did 4 projects, awarded $824,000, and we did 3 tractor replacements and 1 electric school bus. And so on the left is the bus getting destroyed. The jaws crush the old bus so it's no longer used. That's the baseline equipment that's destroyed. And then on the right, you'll see the new bus. No children are in. No children are injured. So, wood stove change out program. This is up to the end of last year. So we had 83 wood stove change outs that were low income, and 47 that were just standard. This probably only back up on this. This program replaces uncertified, inefficient wood burning stoves or newer cleaner burning stoves. And we spent about $530,000 for stuff. So next. This is an old fireplace on the left is replaced with a new near burning wood stove insert. Distribution of the projects around the county, you'll see the 3 counties, you'll see a up in the San Lorenzo Valley, you've got the highest concentration of projects up there, some in Santa Cruz, but what we're seeing this year with this program, multiple projects in Monterey and San Francisco. Landscape Equipment Exchange Program. It's was launched in 2023 in December. This program replaces old combustion landscape equipment with new electric cordless zero emission equipment. We replaced 158 for our residential program. For $50,000 obligated and 105 in our commercial program. We do some outreach and education to promote our programs. We wouldn't get much activity if we didn't actually actively promote them. So we do a lot of advertising, social media, website, radio, print. Siri helps us out a lot with these programs. She does all our graphic arts. Also are involved in many community events around the area, Earth Day.
we do, right? Drive events and then slowness. Promotion, electric vehicle promotion. And we do all of our outreach as well in Spanish. Our smoke management program is designed to be involved in the application of fire on private property or and public property for reducing smoke impacts on local communities. We do online permitting for backyard burning and agricultural burning. Prescribed burns, we work with the land managers to on their smoke management permits. We do meteorological forecasting to help with dispersion of smoke. We do on-site assessments of the smoke. And we get a grant from CARB to operate our program. Last year, we did 107 agricultural burn permits, 1,275 backyard burn permits. These aren't complete numbers because CAL FIRE will do a lot of the permitting. And then when they do the permitting, that we don't get involved with that. So they're permitting, and then burners can do their check their burns without district permit. Last year, we also did 57 smoke management permits for large prescribed fire, and a total of 3,746 acres burned. And this is the distribution of prescribed fires around the region. See, most of the burning is done up in that was state parks up in Santa Cruz County. Wilder Ranch, we get also a lot of burning in the Gablin Range, just south of Hollister and east of Salinas, and then down in the Santa Lucia Range. We also do special projects. We work on issues that come up, like the San Lorenzo Valley Camp 2.5. During the winter months, we see high concentrations of PM2.5 on occasion due to strong inversion, temperature inversion. And the valley is pretty steep, has steep walls, so it keeps the smoke from wood stoves and fireplaces, traps it within the valley. So we do see higher concentrations. So we try to prevent that from happening, or try to get that to be reduced by implementing a Spare the Air program, where we ask people to use alternatives to heat other than wood to heat their homes. And then we also sponsor the wood stove changeout program to get rid of these old smokers that are out there. We do air quality forecasting, predicting pollution levels based on forecasted meteorological conditions. We've been active with Blue Whales and Blue Skies, which is an incentive program for shipping companies to reduce their speeds along the coast in order to reduce emissions and reduce the impact of whale strikes. We also have a grant from CAPCOA to provide equipment for clean air centers, and we're working with Breathe California to administer that program. Any questions?
I have a few.
All right.
We have a PM10 plan, which is kind of out of date. Are there any plans to update that?
Well, there's certainly no legal requirement to do that for us, but it's something that certainly we could re-up it. We've had a reduction, actually. PM10 has been going down over the years. We used to get about 35 exceedances down in King City a year. Now, the last few years, we've gone down to 8 and 10. This year, it's up to about, 20 this year. So, and that's the state standard, not the national standard. We're in attainment for the national standard. So it's certainly something that could be revisited. It's a lot of it's background, just with the winds whipping down the Salinas Valley.
I know your CEQA guidelines are out of date. So when you review environmental documents, how do you address consistency with the air quality plan?
Consistency with the air quality plan is based on It's using housing as a surrogate for air quality. And so the follow the lead agency's guidance on what their population is. If they're not exceeding their population projections, then we'll
the projections haven't been updated for a long time.
AMBAG updates them every year, every 5 years, I think. Yeah.
So you compare them to the AMBAG?
Well, we don't break it down to individual projects. If it's within the population limits that are the projections that AMBAG sets, then they're.
And so the district has no threshold for greenhouse gas emissions. How do you address whether or not they are?
We ask them to evaluate the greenhouse gas thresholds that's established by Bay Area.
So you use a,
we use.
What is the Bay Area's?
I don't recall offhand at this moment. Yeah, I don't, I think it's, there used to be a bright line threshold, but that was no longer necessary because the state met the greenhouse gas threshold or greenhouse gas reductions early prior to 2020. And so the bright line threshold didn't make any sense anymore, like 3 years before, like 2017, it met those projections that the state was trying to reach by 2020. So the bright line threshold wasn't necessary. I think it's there's various ways of looking at it. One is 15% below business as usual. So if they're going to operate business as usual and they project for 15% lower, that's one way of determining it. The other is if they've got the lead agency has a climate action plan. Projects mean their climate
Nobody
action.
Has a climate action
plan. Oh, there's about eight jurisdictions in the region that have
right.
It. That is one thing we are working on. Yes, we're updating the guidelines.
Do you have any plans on updating the CEQA guidelines?
Yes, we're in process right now. Yeah.
Great, because they need to be significantly amended since we attained all the standards.
Yeah.
Other questions?
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for the presentation. Also sticking with CEQA for a second, I'm just curious, of all of the reviews in 2024 that you listed, were these all responded to with responses, or on average how many?
They're not always responded to. In fact, probably we only get a handful of them that respond. That is required by law that we don't always get responses from them.
Okay.
The consultants or the lead agencies.
Right. Thank you.
Questions? If not, thank you.
Right.
Next up is the air monitoring update.
Can you guys hear me okay? Right here? Closer? Hello, everybody. Sean Boyle, Supervisor of Air Monitoring and Planning Division here to give the state of the air of 2024. If I could sum it up in one word for 2024 air quality, fortunate. And the reason why I say that is it's not because we already have some of the best air quality in California, the nation, if not the world, is the whole state was impacted by wildfire smoke, and we were fortunate enough to not have a lot of those impacts. So that's why I sum it up with one word. So as you know, we were in the North Central Coast Air Basin. That's our jurisdiction. And we have an air monitoring network that's established with state and federal standards that we set the monitors up at. So they look pretty unassuming, almost look like Hollywood set pieces almost. But these things are running 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We have dedicated staff that make sure these things are running, that they're being calibrated, that we're following the standards that are set forth with us from the state and federal regulations. So people say you work for the air district, test the air. So what does that mean exactly? The air is kind of a universal soup of stuff, right? So you don't really know what to test for unless you know what you're looking for. So there's a set of criteria pollutants out there that are kind of looked at a lot. There's three in our jurisdiction that we sample for. That's ozone, PM10, and PM2.5. So as you already kind of know, we have 8 monitoring stations. 6 of them do ozone. 1 at Pinnacles is run by the National Park Service. 6 stations also do PM2.5, and 3 stations do PM10. Example of kind of what our stations look like. Excuse me. Carmel Valley's on the left. That's kind of a basic example of a station. The one on the right, that's our new station that we established at San Lorenzo Valley High School. We had to move the station because they're building a solar farm on campus. So we've moved it around the campus there. We put the station in the school colors to kind of, you know, blend in with the environment there. Next slide. So let's get into the data for 2024. As you know what ozone is, it's a strong oxidant gas, right? Chemical reactions of nitrous oxides and VOCs that interact with sunlight and heat. Usually ozone season's kind of during the summertime, but you know, as time marches on, ozone season's kind of all year round because we're having impacts from wildfire smoke. So here's the daily 1 hour peak average of ozone right there. So the 90 parts per billion is the kind of the line. And as you can see, we're doing really well with the one with the daily 1 hour. Next slide, please. So the daily 8 hour has a state and federal standard of 70 parts per billion. We're doing really good this year, except you can see at the top one of San Benito County there, that was Pinnacles. Pinnacles is kind of our hot spot for ozone kind of issues in a way. It's kind of settled kind of more near the, you know, San Joaquin Valley in the Diablo Range. So we kind of get some of the air coming down from the Bay Area. So on July 5th, we did have a exceedance of that standard right there, but that was only one day. Now I'd like to show you guys the 10-year trend of kind of how the ozone's been kind of behaving the last 10 years. And we're doing really well with staying in attainment of that, of those standards. So I like to show you this slide to kind of give you the comparison between PM10 and PM2.5. As you can see, there's a little bit of beach sand with a human hair. So you can see how the PM10 fits in the human hair, and then inside the PM2.5 fits in that. So that's the kind of stuff we're playing with right here, and that's the kind of stuff we're sampling for. So as David kind of said, we had 20 exceedances last year, or yeah, last year, 2024, of the federal standard there, or the state standard, which is 50 micrograms per cubic meter. That was probably up a third from 2023. These were all from King City. These are all wind-driven events. What was interesting at this time in October is the Weekly put out an article from a scientist who had some letters from 1861, and he described the Salinas Valley then as being this heated flue of terrible force with 50-mile-an-hour winds where the mountains were obscured. So it's always been kind of a weather-related area, and this was even before any agricultural stuff was going on there. So. And as you can see, 2024 was kind of no different from what the letters were saying in 1861. So here's the 10-year trend. We're above the state standard there. And let me, in those peaks right there, those were from wildfire smokes. Mike's got a mic of its own, huh? Okay, Michael. Yeah. Woof. Yeah. How do we turn it off?
How's this? You guys hear me? All right, Michael, flip the slide, please. So here's the 2.5 from last year. And then surprisingly, this was better 2.5 analysis than it was in 2023. It's really surprising compared to what the rest of the state was getting with wildfire smoke. We had hardly any impacts at all. We did have a little bit of a peak in December, and that was, remember, the Camarillo and Malibu fires that happened in December. We had some Santa Ana wind events. It was actually bringing smoke through the ocean and swinging it back through. So we did get some peaks there, but it wasn't enough to go above the standard there. 10-year trend of the 2.5. Those three mounds, again, were wildfire events that happened in our area. The 2021 CZU, Carmel, and Big Sur fires all happening at once. So we're doing really, really well with 2.5 in 2024. Besides our air monitoring network, we also have a sensor network. We try and put them in spots where, you know, populations are more susceptible to stuff. So we like to do them at schools. Network of 30 sensors we have in our air district, and these are a great tool for us to get more data, to collaborate with our air monitoring data. And this kind of helps us if we have to do a spare the air event up in San Lorenzo Valley or some kind of wildfire smoke advisory for the public. Next slide. So going into 2025, again, it's our major impact or major concern is probably going to be wildfire smoke again. As time marches on, we'll see what happens, and hopefully we'll be as fortunate this year as we were. Be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
So then, an update.
First, let me say I like your idea, Janet, of having a PM10 plan. We did that Senate Bill 656 a number of years ago. Not sure that really did much, but one of the issues is ag, even though history suggested ag has just cut down a lot of tree lines, food safety issues, so we might see that more prominent. We could definitely get better cooperation and collaboration with ag partners, and I think that's so I'm looking at David, that's something our list to do. So just I'll go over our previous board meeting, which was December 18th, and you'll have Jason here. I just want to let you know that we have significant change in the board right now. More than half of the board is going away. And those folks are listed here. Mary Adams, Luis Alejo has been appointed as her replacement from Santa Barbara County Supervisors. I'm sorry, Santa Barbara, Monterey County Supervisors. I don't know if we have Sandy Brown's replacement, do we? Who's that? Okay, yes. And then we also have, isn't Watsonville replacing Rick Perez? Can we go between Watsonville? Yeah. So we're still getting that, but we also, Zach Friends, we have a replacement that's Mr. Sherpa, and she's a county supervisor. Orlando Orsonio did not win his reelection bid, so we have him, sadly. Will be stepping. Apparently, he's undergoing recall, so maybe he won't show up or not stay. So, several change at the board, and have elections similar to today at the board meeting coming up. This other one, I just thought you guys should know that it's really nice to see. It's sort of self-serving, the last person mentioned there, but you know, the district staff, we've had a lot of history here. We have some people that have still over 35 years that are still working. That's really great. So these are, we have an air quality planner 5 years, and this gentleman over here that just gave the presentation 15 years, doesn't look a day older. Rosa, our administrative service manager, then actually this is, I've been here 16 years now, and we get recognized because of the way it falls in December calendar. And then the main piece of business we did at the last board meeting was that the board received and accepted our financial statements for our clean audit, passed with flying colors. So just as soon as we end that audit, we start gearing up for next year's audit. So probably call. That's how the deal works. We are currently now putting together our budget, which will be adopted in June this year. We have 2 months. So it's a lot. We do have 2 new employees, Angela Tackett's inspector. She came from San Joaquin Valley. And then we have Lawyer Orchid, who's a new air quality technician. I believe he came from California. So really great folks. We're seeing a lot more availability of new hires, which is really good news. There's 3 years, and now it's in on site, and also provide their put in time for engineering and compliance. I could probably speak about this first topic about the battery fire. Let's just say that done a lot of work out there. In particular, I want to recognize Sean and David. We've been sitting countless hours through meetings, dealing with the issues that keep on coming up. And of course, the biggest issue is air quality and resulting oxygen. Right now, it's deposition. So I think this will go on for years. We're trying to work with the facility actually to intervene and become essentially a quasi third party for the facility. So if something like this happens, flip a switch in terms of water and get real time data. That will be continuing. I guess there's questions as to whether or not the facility will. But one thing I should say too, since we're on the topic of Moss Landing, that power plant is starting to come up, and the gas side is actually being used pretty significantly now, which is sort of a surprise. There was a few years that we thought they were going to go under. As of right now, as you all know, we have a lot of solar power, so they're basically a peaker plant. They turn on when they get interested in. I haven't heard any statistics on how much actually now being lost to the grid because of the down battery storage, but suffice to say that the power plant will probably be increasing operations to compensate, so more emissions associated with the combustion of natural gas. So it's unfortunate that we have an energy facility that would see disaster or situation where. We're currently hiring Inspector 1-2 position, and so that should get us up there to get more inspections done. Also, the fluctuations a little bit. We've adjusted our goals on the times that we inspect the facility. Initially, we used to do 1 in 3 years, and then we tried to get out. So there, that will be reflected. And Granite Rock has submitted a variance application for San Juan Pablo. So the one thing I would just add to this item, if you know that anybody that's interested in participating on another work, we are looking for an engineer and health professional. So. Or if you want to be on another board, you know, Yeah, so we're really having a hard time. We've had a little bit, we've always had a difficult time staffing that board, and folks leave. Actually, Les Gerard, who was our previous counsel, is now on that board. So, but we're still, it's hard to set dates when we can't get a form. So, I keep on mentioning that. And then I will just say too about my first item about changing the board members. So we have these other appointees will have the opportunity. So they get some members. Some of our board of director members have not even done that in the course of their term. So try to remind them every meeting to do that. So we will see more blood infused into this body. I just put down here grants programs update, and you got most of that from David. So just suffice to say that we're sort of getting close to running out of money for our electric vehicle incentive program, although we're looking at, we have some other stores we don't buy. It's been approved by the board of directors, so we may be able to get some more car incentives out there. However, you know, as of today, we're pretty much zero. So find a way to do that. And then I would just say, if you're going to buy an electric vehicle too, Central Coast Energy has rebates available. So that concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. If not future agenda items, I would like to suggest an update on the impact of the current administration. That will get us all upset. Any other suggestions for agenda items? Yeah, they'll be. I have no comments. Any committee members? Okay, we will adjourn, and thank you for attending.